Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Well, of course, we just wrapped up the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon, and so it's time to talk to someone else who has been extreme in their enjoyment of the outdoors. Author Natalie Warren joins us this morning to talk about her new book. It's called Hudson Bay Bound, Two Women, One Dog, 2,000 Miles to the Arctic. And next Tuesday, there's going to be a virtual book launch. Polar explorer Anne Bancroft wrote the introduction to the book, and she'll be joining everybody for the book launch next Tuesday. We'll get some information about that up on our website, so folks want to go to the virtual launch, they can. But in the meantime, we get a sneak peek from author Natalie Warren herself. Natalie, good morning, and thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's get a little bit of backstory. Any town in Minnesota is kind of a small town where people tend to meet up with one another. But how did you come to become pals with Anne Bancroft and have her write the introduction to your book?
Yeah, so I'm actually not from Minnesota at all. I'm from Miami, Florida, and I did not even know about Anne Bancroft growing up, which I'm very glad to have learned about her and her amazing expeditions, because she really has inspired me and paved the way for lots of women doing these types of outdoor trips. I went to St. Olaf College, but before that I went to YMCA Camp Minojin, and so I would fly up from South Florida every summer and go canoeing in the Boundary Waters, and absolutely fell in love with the North Woods. And so, of course, I tried to stay in Minnesota however I could. So I went to St. Olaf College, and then now I live in Minneapolis.
That explains the whole thing to me. I was wondering, just in that sort of, you know, silly way, how somebody from Miami said, Minnesota, that's the place to be. But you left Miami in the summer and came up here where it's drier and cooler in the summer. And silly yes. you thought, oh, yeah, this is the place to be. And nobody was honest with you about the winters.
You know, I didn't see snow until I was 17. And it still is this beautiful, magical thing for me, because it's just, it hasn't been around my entire life. I'm
right.
still not used to it. So I get very excited about the winter.
Well,
today.
Fantastic. Then we're not going to rain on your parade, or snow or blizzard or polar vortex on your parade. So
wonderful.
Let's talk about the genesis of this canoe trip. Where and how did that? I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, Miami's a little hot in the summer, and another to say, I'm going to the Arctic.
So through YMCA Camp Minojin, I was able to go up to the Arctic on a 50-day canoe trip on the Kazan-Kunwak Inuit Heritage Rivers in Nunavut. And so I had been on a progression of trips that really prepared me for this longer expedition up to Hudson Bay. And my canoeing partner, Ann Rejo, is a Minnesotan. She is just an amazing outdoors woman. She read Canoeing with the Cree by Eric Severide growing up, which is a Minnesota staple. And she, one day in college, it was spring last semester of our senior year, and everyone was really nervous about getting jobs. I remember Anne showed up at my door, and she had Canoeing with the Cree in her hands, and she sort of chucked it at me and said, read this, I think we should do it. And so we stopped applying for our, you know, internships after school and decided that we were going to live in a canoe for 3 months. So 3 days after we graduated, we departed on the Minnesota River during a flood and paddled upstream for the first 330 miles, trying to just trek our way north.
Wow. I'm sure that, well, of course you brought a dog with. I mean, that just makes sense. Who wouldn't bring a dog with? But did you,
well,
I guess, I mean, if you love dogs, of course you bring a dog with. But I imagine that, I mean, I wouldn't bring one of my guys. I mean, they're snack size. They're fun size, my dogs. They're not canoe trip dogs. Tell me, you've got to tell me briefly about the dog you brought along.
Yeah, so we actually didn't start off bringing a dog, and we had no intention of picking up a dog. But when we got past Lake Winnipeg, we got to spend some time with the Cree First Nation at Norway House, and they have a stray dog problem. And we were able to stay with a Cree council member and spend some time in the community. And in that time, he convinced us that we should take one of the stray dogs with us on our canoe trip, because if a polar bear came, it would eat our dog and we would have time to load our gun.
Oh, and jeepers. And yes, see, that's the kind of, well, yeah, but you know, that's the kind of, oh, you'd absolutely hear that logic in huge swaths of Minnesota. So yes. I'm making a face, but okay, fine. Yeah. So you needed a dog that was more than one bite. Yay.
Exactly. Yes. Just to bide us some time, really. No, she was not live bait. She's still alive and, you know, made it through the trip and was just a wonderful surprise addition to our expedition team.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is part of a wonderful story. When you do your presentation now for your book rollout, there, you know, it's going to be fun, it's going to be virtual, and there's going to be blah, blah, blah. You're going to, I'm sure, need to do some kind of a presentation, and they're probably going to ask you to recall some of your most amazing, terrifying events along that trip. Have you picked out one that you're sure you're going to be sharing with people?
So I will be going through each section of the trip and sharing a story. This trip is really cool because it's in four main sections. You're upstream on the Minnesota River, you're downstream on the Red River, you're paddling the 11th largest lake in the world in terms of surface area, and then you're paddling fast whitewater in remote areas. So it's almost like four trips in one. And they each had their own special challenges, but I think the biggest challenge for us was paddling the waves on Lake Winnipeg, being windbound for over 7 days, not being able to paddle along the shores. And then, of course, our relationship took a big hit at that point in our trip as well, which I write about in the book pretty candidly. So I will definitely be sharing some stories about our wind troubles on Lake Winnipeg, our bear encounter on Lake Winnipeg, and then, of course, picking up the dog and going into the Arctic wilderness.
Yesterday, when I talked with musher John Stetson, we talked a little bit about the fact that there were a bunch of families taking part in the bear grease this year. There was a couple of parent-kid there was a two parent kid pairings, and there was a husband and wife that were running the marathon with one another. And I said, is this one of those things that family should or should not do together? It sounds like you and your friend had to navigate that particular challenge. What did you learn anything about either the experience itself or the nature of friendships and relationships that you'd say, well, I would do things differently next time? You know, maybe either I would go again with a really good friend, or I would go with somebody that I already maybe didn't like, so I wouldn't care what happened to the relationship. I'm curious about what a person learns from an experience like that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I was 22 at the time, and so it was a real coming-of-age trip for me in general. I didn't live anywhere. I didn't need to start paying my student loans for another 6 months. And so I was able to really go all in into living in the canoe and being with my friend Anne. And we were a perfect duo for this trip. We balanced each other really well because Anne was a little bit more cautious and nervous, and I was a little more laid back. But, of course, that builds over time and led to sort of this tipping point on Lake Winnipeg where Anne thought I was too cautious and didn't even care about our safety. And I thought that Anne had, you know, too much anxiety about all the decisions that we had to make. And at that point, I think we could have decided not to talk about it. I think we could have decided to just keep doing the trip. We would get to Hudson Bay and sure, we maybe wouldn't talk afterwards and the resentment would grow over that last month on our expedition. But instead, we thought about it, and I'm talking like yelling thought about it. And that really taught me that conflict is totally normal in a friendship, and it's important to confront that and to sort of pull the weeds in that relationship so that it can grow better afterward. And Anne and I, after that big fight we had, our relationship only improved, and we're still best friends today. And so I'm really glad that we were able to sort of air out the tension, and that taught me a lot. I don't like conflict now, but I know that conflict is important to a strong relationship.
You know, I've thought a lot about that as an old person who has fought with a lot of people, and realized that the greatest gift of my second marriage was, first of all, having very clearly defined boundaries and agreeing on those boundaries about what constitutes a fair fight. Mm-hmm. You know, no name calling, and you don't bring up stuff from the past, and you know, so that there are rules of engagement. But then learning that fighting with somebody doesn't mean that they're out of your life or they're leaving. It just means that you disagree, and then when you are, you know, reach some kind of a resolution, you feel closer than you were before. And that was
exactly.
An invaluable lesson, because nobody teaches us how to disagree with one another.
I agree. And really trying to learn the other person is, to me, so much more important than just trying to get along with the other person. So there's a certain curiosity there that I think if we pursue and actually try to understand how other people perceive situations or the world around them, that just strengthens that relationship, because you now have that stronger bond.
So you are, and I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask, but you are a slightly older person now. Do you
Yes.
have your sights set on, I really want to do XYZ? Do you have another kind of a big challenge or a fun adventure that you've kind of got your eye on?
Yeah, so I'm 32 now, and it's been a decade since I paddled the Hudson Bay. And after that trip, I also have since paddled the length of the Mississippi River and paddled in the Yukon River Quest and done some canoe racing. So I've done a lot in the last couple of years since that larger expedition. And I actually just had a baby, and I'm learning
Congratulations.
That is also an expedition. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. So right now I have my sights set on trying to incorporate my love of the natural world, and planning for these larger expeditions has been such a big part of the last 15 years of my life. And oftentimes I would plan for that month, 3 month long trip and not really get outdoors, you know, the rest of the year. And I would just plan for these large things. And now I'm trying to incorporate those outdoor experiences into my everyday, whether that's even like a walk or cross country skiing, or just, I live 2 miles off of the Mississippi River. And so grabbing my canoe and getting out there for the evening, I'm trying to spend more time in the place that I live.
And it's soon going to be possible and super fun to bring the little one along and introducing kids to, you know, a lot of people, of course, here, their kids grow up on skis, and you get to watch them skiing, and you get to watch them, you know, learning to skate when they're still kind of learning to walk, and having a little one in the canoe when you go out for one of those beautiful paddles. What a new and fun adventure without the adrenaline rush you are going to have.
I am really looking forward to it.
Natalie, thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. And as I mentioned, we'll get a link set up on our webpage. So if folks want to take part in the virtual launch, it's so wonderful to be able to say, you know, you could say, well, you know, there's going to be a launch party in the cities or something. And people up here were, I don't know if I can drive all the way to the cities for, you know, but now it's virtual. So anybody who wants to can attend from anywhere in the country. And what fun. Natalie, thanks again for being our guest.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Natalie Warren joined us this morning. She's the author of a book called Hudson Bay Bound, Two Women, One Dog, 2,000 Miles to the Arctic. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.